Now, if you have a copy of God's words, we would encourage you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll read a few verses here. Before I do so, let me just introduce you to this poster beside me. Now, you'll not be able to see it unless you have very, very good eyesight. So if you do, well, you have better eyesight than I do, you are free to come afterwards and have a look at it. But what we have here is the history of the kings and queens of England. So you have way up here, 800 and something, and the family history the whole way down to Queen Elizabeth and then Prince Charles himself. That's something I got many, many years ago. We spent many a day looking at it, working our way through it. We're going to do some of that today and show you the providence of God's good hand upon our little land here. Does anybody under the age of 10? I'll open that up actually. Does anyone under the age of 15 know the name of the queen of this country? Jimmy? Yes, Elizabeth. Is she the first, second, third, 43rd? Any idea? Any guesses? First, second? There's Mary knows. Second, you're right. Queen Elizabeth II. And I'm going to tell you something about her in a moment or two. Let's all bow in a word of prayer first of all. Let's look to the Lord for his help today. And then we will read a portion of the word first of all. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, it's good, Lord, to be saved. It's good, Lord, to be able to look at our history and recall all the goodness of God toward us so that here in 2022 we can, Lord, pick up our Bibles and come to your church. And Lord, we know the richness of the history and the magnitude of what men and women and children had to do to protect the liberty to do so and the lives that were given. And so we do not take the activity of coming to our church this morning lightly, but this is a privilege that has been bought with the blood of many of our ancestors, but primarily of Christ who died upon Calvary. Be with us here today. Give help in the Savior's name, we pray. Amen and amen. Now, I want to read a couple of verses, and it only has a couple of verses from Deuteronomy, the chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, all right? And let's pick up our reading at the verse number 20. Verse 20 of Deuteronomy 6. And when thy son asketh thee, in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, the next generation, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all the household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I read that portion of scripture because it is very, very important. What we've been told here is simply this: by divine instruction to tell the next generation what God has done. To remind the generation growing up of the glory and the goodness of what God has done in the past. And to remember the truthful history, seeing it from a God-honoring point of view. So today, it is important to remember our history. Let me ask everyone again, under the age of 15. No, I said that last time. Mary answered, and I'm just thinking. Who under the age of 15 loves history at school? Oh, dear. Well, there's one. Anybody else? Oh, dear. Well, I think today you might just begin to be a little bit interested in history. Because history is very, very encouraging. And here's what I want you to see today. From the very youngest to the most mature, I want you to keep on thinking. This is the lesson, all right? How did God work through all of these kings and queens to bless us, to bless our nation? And that's what I want to show you today. Because in the Bible, we read of Cyrus and these kings, men who certainly weren't saved on many occasions, but God still worked through them to bless and to benefit the people. What was the name of the queen of this nation again? I heard a wee Elizabeth very sweetly said, Elizabeth. Elizabeth II. It was on the 6th of February, 1952. I'll not ask for a show of hands as to who was living there. 1952, 6th of February, Queen Elizabeth II succeeded to the throne when her father passed away. That's how she became the queen. Her dad was the king, and he was the king for many years, and a good king he was, but he died. And when he died, do you know where the queen was? She was in Kenya. She was miles away when her father died. And she got the news that she is now the Queen of England, of the UK. And so February past marked 70 years. Now think about that. Some of you are 9. Okay, some of you are 9. Some of you are coming 10. Imagine 7 times your lifetime being on the throne of England. That's how long the Queen has been serving. But think about this now. Think about it for 1 minute. I didn't say she was 70. I said she's been reigning for 70 years. Do you know what that means? Look at this list here. How many kings and queens can you see? There's like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, let's say 20. We're hitting probably near 30, 40. We're talking here about almost 2,000 years. Not quite, about 1,500 years. Almost 2,000 years of history. And this lady is the one who's been reigning for the longest. No other king, no other queen in the history of our country has ever reigned for that long. In fact, when you read the Bible, no king reigned anywhere near this. The longest king reigned for 55 years. That's how long he reigned. Let me tell you this. It's amazing that she has reigned longer than all the kings of the Bible, than all the kings and queens of Britain before her. But you know what? In history of mankind, there are 4 people who are the longest reigning people ever. Let me tell you who they are. The first one was King Louis the 14th of France. He reigned for 72 years. In second place, Rama the 9th of Thailand reigned 70 years, 126 days. Keep that in your head. 70 years, 126 days. That's the second longest reign ever in human history. And up until a couple of weeks ago, there was a man called Johann the 2nd. He used to be the 3rd because he reigned for 70 years, 91 days. But our queen has now passed him. Because she is now the 3rd longest reigning monarch in human history at 70 years, 112 days, I believe, today. That's a long, long time. She's been gifted with a long life, and that's a gift from God. Now, what I want you to see specifically today is this. Here is our queen down here. There we are. That's Queen Elizabeth. I'm going to take you the whole way back her family history to this lady. And you know what her name was? She was Queen Elizabeth the first. So I'm going to show you how God has blessed this nation between Elizabeth the first and Elizabeth the second, whom God has providentially used. So first of all, let me tell you something about Queen Elizabeth the first. This is when the Protestant Reformation was. For any of you biblical scholars, the Protestant Reformation was about this time. This lady was reigning in the 1500s, and we'll see that in a minute or two. It was the time of Luther and Calvin and all these mighty men. Well, that's when Queen Elizabeth I was born. Now, I want to start with her father. Who has ever heard of King Henry VIII? Most of us, right? Okay, even at school. You've heard of King Henry VIII. And what's he famous for? Unfortunately, he's famous for having six wives. That's a lot of wives. So there was major issues with King Henry for sure. And he was certainly no moral example for the world by any stretch of the imagination. But let me tell you something about this man. His passions ruled him, but he got a wee booklet one day. It would have been more than a tract. It would have been a booklet. And in that booklet, it was called The Obedience of a Christian Man. And you know who wrote it? It was a man named Tyndale. Tyndale was the man who brought the Bible into the English language. And he also wrote that wee tract. And King Henry read it, and it struck him. He said, while reading this book, I believe, from reading this, that the Pope should not be ruling this church in England. There's something wrong with what the Pope's doing. I'm not happy. Plus, he had a fallout with the Pope because he wanted to annul his wife, and the Pope wouldn't allow him. And that was a very difficult and, well, troublesome era for sure. Anyway, he very much turned his back on Roman Catholicism, and he took the Church of England away from being under the authority of the Pope. And that, men and women, was a very significant moment in the Protestant Reformation, because all of a sudden now the religion in this land is no more under the Pope. We're free from Rome's rule in that sense. He went on to dissolve convents, monasteries. He himself was excommunicated. But like I said, do not think for a moment he was some character of great morality, because he certainly was not. In fact, the same William Tyndale who wrote that book criticized him, and he said to Henry, listen, you have problems with your marital position. Several wives trying to annul your first marriage. And when King Henry heard that, he chased William Tyndale right out of England. Of course, William Tyndale fled, and where he ended up fleeing to, he actually was murdered there. He was tried for treason. Not because of King Henry, but the place where he was did not agree with Tyndale's teaching, and he ended up losing his life. But remember what Tyndale's prayer was. When Tyndale was dying, he said, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. And that was referring to Henry VIII. And here's what's interesting. A couple of years after Tyndale died, do you know what happened? King Henry commissioned the printing of the first authorized version of the Bible. Now, listen to me carefully. The first authorized version. This is not the first one. All right. The first authorized version was called the Great Bible in 1539. And he authorized it to be read in all of his churches. And can you imagine how magnificent that was? Before, no one had the Bible in their own hand. Everyone had to just simply listen to either what a priest or someone was telling them, and they had to believe it because they didn't have the Bible to read it. But King Henry, in the providence of God, said that every church should have its own Bible and men should read it in the English language so that people can hear it for themselves. So that when preachers stand up, they don't just say what they want. They have to say what the Bible says, and people themselves can discern is what that man is saying from the Bible or not. That's a very significant moment in our history. And then, near the end of his reign, the Parliament in Ireland made him the king of Ireland as well. So he became the king of England and also the king of Ireland. And it was an act, and the act was an act that the king of England, his heirs and successors, be kings of Ireland. So we're seeing here the building of the kingdom under this king. Now, when King Henry's lavish life ended, his son, now listen to me here, his son, who was a wee boy, became the king. And here he is here. His name was King Edward. Do you know what age? Now listen to me. Do you know what age he was when he became king? He wasn't 25. He wasn't 20. In fact, he wasn't even a teenager. He wasn't even 10. 9 years of age, ruling and reigning over all of England and all of Ireland. Do you imagine that? There's Micah's 9 and Jamie's 9. Imagine you've been the queen, or you've been the king of all of this. Let me ask you, Jamie, if you were the queen, what would be the first thing you would do? What would you do? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know what I'd do myself, to be honest. Just imagine that a 9-year-old boy had suddenly become the king. He was a very intelligent boy. He was gifted mentally. And he had a very, very clear admiration and like for the gospel. He loved the Bible. He loved it. And you know what? He had a very, very famous friend. And I have many, many books written by this friend. And this friend of his was called John Calvin. And John Calvin had a very warm and friendly relationship with him. When he wrote the book of 1 Peter, he dedicated it to King Edward. And he referred to Edward as being like another king in the Bible who was very young. Can anybody think the name of the king in the Bible who was only a boy as well? There's one wee man this meeting should know, and that's Micah. Do you know his name? King Josiah. That's our wee boy's name, King Josiah. And King Josiah wasn't even 9. He was just 8. He was but a little boy indeed. Well, Edward was a similar age, and so Calvin would have referred to Edward as being like a young Josiah, a young reformer, a young man who would govern his country well and for the glory of God. Now, I have a lengthy letter here that John Calvin wrote to Edward. It's pinned up outside. Fred pinned it up for me. It's in the hall, entrance hall. Have a look at it on the way out, and you'll see what he read. Let me read a little bit of it to you. Here's what he said. He was talking about King Josiah. He set before King Edward the example of King Josiah in the Bibles. Here's what he said. Who performed, King Josiah, performed every duty of an excellent prince, in faith, zeal, and holiness. Nevertheless, the prophet Zephaniah shows that there still remain some remnants of former superstitions, even in the city of Jerusalem. And on he goes to King Josiah, showing him biblical examples. It is true, sire, that there are certain things indifferent which we may lawfully bear with, but we must always observe this rule, your majesty, that there must be sobriety and moderation in ceremonies, so that the light of the gospel be not obstructed, as though we were still under the shadows of the law, and then that there be nothing inconsistent and unconformable to, just bear with me as I work my way through this, the other established by the Son of God, and that the whole may tend and conduce to the edification of the church. For God, King Josiah, or King Edward, for God does not allow anyone to sport with his name, mingling frivolities among his holy and sacred ordinances. Now there are manifest abuses which you know. For instance, prayer for the dead, placing before God in our prayers the intercession of saints, and adding their names to his taking of oaths, and so on and so forth. List all these sins that are going on in your land, King Edward. There is another point, sire, which ought to be especially regarded by you, namely, that the poor flocks of God's people be not without pastors. Ignorance and barbarism have pressed so heavily in this accursed papacy, he said, that it is not easy to obtain, at the first attempt, persons fit and qualified to discharge the office of minister. However, the thing is well worth taking pains about. And let your ministers, sire, keep every eye upon it, that the food of life may be afforded to the people, so that they be not without the word of God. Not long ago. So he's making sure that King Edward knows the importance and the priority of making sure the people hear the word of God. And King Edward was faithful. He was faithful to the truth. He was faithful as far as he could to seeing the gospel furthered. But, now I want to ask you a question. Everyone listen. What age did I say King Edward was when he came to the throne? What age was he? It was the age of somebody else here in this room as well. Yes, Mike? 9 years old. 9 years old. Do you know when he died? 15. Just lived for 6 more years as king. And he died with tuberculosis. That was very sad. He was a good, a godly young boy. Very, very promising. But he had a concern. And let me tell you what his concern was. He had a big sister. And he knew, my big sister is a rascal. That's right. I'll show you who she is. That's her there. She became Queen Mary. Bloody Mary. That was what she was called. So he devised a plan to try and prevent her getting to the throne before he died. He cared for his people. And he knew if that woman becomes queen, she will ruin this nation and she'll murder the people. And he did what he could to try and get his cousin to be queen instead. And he made it. She became queen, Lady Jane Grey. I think that's right. Yeah. Lady Jane Grey. And she was queen. Do you know for how long? Not 10 years. Not 5 years. Not 1 year. Not half a year. Not even a month. She was queen for 9 days. And then this Lady Mary came with an army, took her, put her away, and ended her life. Because Mary wanted to be queen. And so Mary became the queen. And she got the nickname, Bloody Mary. Do you know why that was? Very sadly, because King Edward was right. She was a murderer. And I'm not going to go into the details for obvious reasons here, but there were 300 individuals. And all I say is, she burnt them, one at a time. A shocking lady. And her thirst for vengeance was not quenched. She did all that she could to undo what Edward did and her father did to get rid of the Bible and to get rid of Christianity. She wanted to go back as far as she could under the rule of the Pope of that day. Do you know what else she did? She put her other sister in prison. Her other sister was called Elizabeth the First. And she knew that Elizabeth, she loved the Bible, and so she locked Elizabeth away in case she would do any of her business helping the gospel. Those were dark years for Christianity. Many people died, lost their lives, and it's sad because we're not going to maybe get beyond Mary, to be honest, today. But it's really sad because this woman, well, she married, and her marriage didn't end well. Let's put it that way. And she had no children. And that woman ended her life in the most miserable and dark way possible. She took ill. Some would say it was cancer she took. We're not just sure. There were several things hit her at once. And she died of natural causes. But she died a miserable woman. She hated the gospel of Christ. She despised what Jesus Christ did, as is mentioned of here in the Bible. And that was a sad thing. And here's the difficulty. She's not the only one who has died hating the gospel. Some people die, they might not hate the gospel, but they're indifferent to it, or they ignore it. And yet this is the greatest book, and this is the greatest message that humanity has ever read. Listen, kings and queens have given their lives to preserve this book. And we'll see that in weeks or in occasions to come here as well. But I want to ask you, just today, we have this Bible because there were kings and queens and men and women who died to preserve the right to read it. You see, today, if you went to, I don't know, let's say Somalia, or let's say you went to Korea, and see if you were found having one of these in your hand, your life's gone. You would be imprisoned, you wouldn't be tried, you would be enduring capital punishment for the crime of having God's word in your possession. That's how serious it is. But look at us today. We all have Bibles. In fact, our houses are coming down with Bibles. Isn't that true? There's an abundance of them. And we have to ask the question, do we read them? Do we study it? And furthermore, have we embraced the God of this book? Because these people loved the Bible because the Bible led them to Christ. It led them to find forgiveness for all of their sins. Because although they were kings and queens, they knew that they needed to be forgiven of their unrighteousness and of their transgressions. This book changes lives. I have to ask you today, has this book changed your life? Has this gospel that some queens and kings fought for, has it so affected you that you're no longer the same? Edward was only a boy of 9, not too young to be saved. So even all the kids here, you're not too young to be saved, not too young to believe and know this book. I was 5 when I trusted in Christ. Many of you were young as well. Can I say, in closing here, Mary did eventually die. Elizabeth got out of prison, and Queen Elizabeth I became the second queen ever in her history because, well, Queen Mary was the first, then Queen Mary was the second. She was a good woman, a woman who loved the Bible, and a woman who took a stand for Christ and for the Reformation. I want you to come back tonight and we'll hear about Queen Elizabeth and all that she did. I want to tell you about another man who came after her. His name is James, and everybody in this room has a book with his name on it, for sure. We're going to go right the way on down. We're going to read about the German king who couldn't speak English. One of our kings could not speak a word of our language. And then we come on down and we read about here, this man is why a marathon is the length that it is. From memory, I think a marathon is 25.3 miles. Is that right? 26.3? Anyway, the point something, the point three is there for a particular reason. It's because of a king and his simple request. And many other things I want to show you in the coming service. But let me tell you, God has been good to us men and women in preserving our Bible and our Christian heritage, particularly through these two individuals. They weren't perfect. They're far from it. But the Lord used them so that you and I today could worship the Lord and praise his name. So I would invite you to come back tonight. Have a wee look at the poster on the way out too. Feel free to do so. But before we finish, we're going to sing a hymn. 758. I think it's appropriate to do so this morning. God save our gracious Queen. We all know the first verse well. Second verse, O Lord, our God, arise, scatter her enemies and make them fall. Confound their politics, frustrate their popish tricks. On thee our hopes we fix, God save us all. That's the same language that was used in the psalm that we sang earlier on here. And we have a history, which is most important. Genuinely know. It's good to know your history. It's good to know how The Lord has graciously blessed and preserved our little lamb. 758, we'll stand to sing. Let's stand together.